This week's Divrei Torah are being learned L'Zeicha Nishmas Avi Mori, Rabbi Yitzchak Moshe David ben Rav Baruch, and L'Zeicha Nishmas Imi Moirasi, Malka Bas Rabbi Yehoshua, and also L'Zeicha Nishmas Rabbi Shua Aryeh ben Rabbi Yisacha Beresh. Parshas Chukah starts with the topic of Parah Aduma. And Rashi says that Parah Aduma is a choik, a mitzvah which we can't understand. Gezerahil milafonai ein lecha reshus lahara achareo. It is a decree before me, and you have no right to contemplate it. Do it without understanding. However, Rashi further, at the end of the parasha of Parah Aduma, quotes Rav Moshe Adarshan, who explains that Parah Aduma is an atonement for the Egel. And he goes on to explain how each aspect of the Parah Aduma corresponds to the Egel. The Egel was burned, the Parah Aduma is burned. Chet is symbolized by the color red, and the Parah Aduma has to be red, and so on. This Rav Moshe Adarshan seems to contradict what Rashi said earlier, that Parah Aduma is a choik, something we cannot understand. And now Rashi quotes Rav Moshe Adarshan that we do understand the Parah Aduma. It is a kapara for the Egel. Secondly, asked the Beis HaLevi, why would Parah Aduma be a kapara for the Egel? Parah Aduma is used to purify one who is Tamei Meis. Why would that purification process be an atonement for the Egel? The Beis HaLevi famously answers by first understanding what the Chet HaEgel really was. Klal Yisrael had good intentions by the Egel. Moshe seemed to have vanished, and they were looking for another intermediary between themselves and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And they decided that the Egel should be that intermediary. Their sin was that they acted independently without turning to Hashem for direction. It wasn't so much what they did, but rather how they went about it. So how does one seek atonement for acting independently? The answer is by following Hashem without question, even if you do not understand it. That is why Parah Aduma is a kapara for the Egel. The sin of the Egel was by acting independently. The kapara is to do a chayk, something you do not understand. Follow Hashem blindly, and that will atone for acting on your own. The Parah Aduma, the ultimate chayk, is therefore an appropriate kapara for the Egel. The Beis HaLevi continues that we find that the Mishkan also was a kapara for the Egel. As Rashi says in the beginning of Parashat Pekudei, that the Mishkan was called Mishkan or Eidos because it was an Eidos, a testimony, that Hashem forgave Klal Yisrael for the Chet HaEgel. Says the Beis HaLevi, it is for that reason that we find in Parashat Pekudei, by every one of the Begadim that Bezalel made, the Pasuk ends off repeatedly that it was made Kasher Tzivo Hashem as Moshe, exactly the way Hashem commanded Moshe. Because if the Mishkan was an atonement for the Egel, it had to be something that we are doing because of Hashem's guidance, and not because we are relying on our own understanding. Kasher Tzivo Hashem as Moshe. Everything in the Mishkan was done because Hashem commanded us, and we are doing it only because Hashem commanded us. And that can atone for the Egel, where we followed our own understanding. Now, says the Beis HaLevi, we can understand why the two Rashis are not a stira. Parah Aduma is a choik. We cannot understand it. And that is exactly what Rav Moshe Adarshan is saying. Because we do not understand it, that is exactly how it can be a kapara for the Egel, where we acted based on what made sense to us and not on what Hashem commanded. Doing something just because Hashem said a choik is a kapara for the Egel, where we acted independently. So Rav Moshe Adarshan is also agreeing that Parah Aduma is a chayk, and it is for that reason that it is a kapara for the Egel. The second Dvar Torah for this week is that the Torah says if one kills another Jew b'shoigeg, accidentally, he must run and escape to the Ari Miklot in order to be protected from the Goyal Adam, the relative of the deceased. And he must remain in the Ari Miklot until the death of the Kohen Gadol, at which point he is permitted to return to his family and to his community. The Meshech Chachma derives from a pasuk in this week's parasha that although this law was applicable during the 40 years in the Midbar, with the accidental killer fleeing to the Machane Levia, such an episode never actually occurred during this entire period of the 40 years in the Midbar. His proof is that the pasuk says regarding the death of Aharon, Vayivku es Aharon Shloshim Yoim, Kol Beis Yisrael, all of Klal Yisrael cried over the death of Aharon for 30 days. And Rashi explains, since Aharon was Oyev Shalom v'Roidev Shalom, making peace between quarreling parties, making peace between husband and wife, therefore all of Klal Yisrael, Kol Beis Yisrael, mourned over his death. Says the Meshech Chachma, if there would have been at that time someone who killed b'shoigeg and was stuck in the Machane Levia, he would not have cried over Aharon's death. Rather, he would have rejoiced that now he was a free man, becoming free at the time of the death of the Kohen Gadol. So it must be if everyone cried at Aharon's death, then there wasn't even a single Horeg B'Shogeg in the Midbar. In Sefer Matami Yaakov, he questions the proof of the Meshech Chochma, because Aaron's death was at the end of the 40 years in the Midbar, and therefore it was entirely possible that someone killed B'Shogeg in the Midbar and was stuck in the Machane Leviah, but that person died prior to Aaron's death. That person might have died in year 38 in the Midbar, while Aaron died in year 40. So it is possible that someone killed B'Shogeg in the Midbar and was sent to the Ari Miklat, was sent to the Machane Leviah, but that person died before Aaron died. And it is for this reason that Kol Beis Yisrael cried, because the people who may have rejoiced were not living anymore. But technically, it was entirely possible that somebody might have killed B'Shogeg in the Midbar during the 40 years and just died before Aaron died. So the proof brought by the Meshech Chochma still needs to be fully explained.